Welcome.
Thank you, Senator. And for the benefit of the senators, and I know this bill is, I can represent to you, has three provisions in it. And the substance and the meat of those provisions are essentially the same bills that came over last year. The informed consent provisions are almost substantively identical. I made a few technical changes to it, and the coercion language is almost identical also. I added a new section this year, and what this section does, it's a pretty simple concept. If a minor goes in to have an abortion, the prosecutor in the county of which the abortion took place is notified, and also the prosecutor in the county in which that woman lives is also notified. That came out of from the Mueller case. It's just an idea that someone gave to me that said if this had happened if this had been reported 20 years ago, an allegation in that case is that an 11-year-old had an abortion, and if people would have been notified 20 years ago when that took place, maybe we could have had better and clearer evidence to figure out what that was. And I know, Senator, you probably don't. I know you well enough to know that you prefer brevity, so I'll just stop right here.
Let me see if there's any questions for you. Yes, there is a question. There is. Senator Justice has one.
I will just raise my continuing objections to the rest of the bill, and then I have one question for you, Representative. On the referring to the local prosecutor, why is it a referral to the prosecutor instead of the local law enforcement?
I try to come up with the best way, and I thought the prosecutor can use his or her discretion to try to figure out, and that way it wasn't blasted out to the entire law enforcement team, that the prosecutor is the one sole elected person would have, one, some political accountability, and then also that they could sort of keep this as confidential as you can.
Because I guess my main concern is with other alleged crimes, you would refer it to law enforcement, and then law enforcement would do the background stuff, and then they'd send it to the prosecutor where the decisions would be made. And so I guess that was my concern. And then my other issue on this specific thing is I guess, are we making the presumption that someone who presents at a clinic that they have had a crime committed against them in some way?
I think what we're trying to figure out here, and I'm flexible with the age, is to say, hey, 11's a lot easier than, say, 17, and I acknowledge that. But if you have an 11-year-old showing up, I think it raises more eyebrows and someone could say, hey, we're going to take a look at this. And I think what I was looking at and what I was thinking about is, like, if a child goes in that's clearly been physically abused, there's no question we refer that to law enforcement or somebody. And so why wouldn't we do that the same thing if, say, you've got an 11-year-old who presents as pregnant, to at least undertake some initial determination to say what happened here.
So does this apply then to doctors and hospitals and crisis pregnancy centers if an 11-year-old presents as pregnant, or just to the abortion providers?
It applies to those who present themselves for an abortion, wherever that may be.
Okay, well, I guess then if the policy underlying this is to catch abuse against children, then I guess my question to you would be, why wouldn't we have it for hospitals and doctors as well? I mean, if an 11-year-old shows up pregnant anywhere, someone's red flag should be flying.
I probably agree with you, and I wouldn't even, and I'd support that.
And you are open to age adjustments too, because my concern is for the two 17-year-olds that have sex with each other and no crime has been committed.
I had it in my original bills. I filed at 16 in the House committee. That was changed to 18.
Okay. And do you know what the current law is? I mean, is there some sort of mandatory reporting for someone who shows up is it 14 or under?
There isn't. There isn't in terms for investigative purposes. There is for reporting purposes to the department. So you can look down and find out the ages of those that had abortions, but that is only for reporting purposes, not for determination of, say, hey, there may have been a crime committed here.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Any other questions for Representative Pratt? Okay, thank you. We'll now take the very first witness in favor of the bill.
Senator Bartle, how are you?
I'm well. How are you? Your name?
I'm Tyler McClay. I'm general counsel and a registered lobbyist with the Missouri Catholic Conference, and I want to go on record in support of the bill. And we think the most important part of this bill is that it would require the physician who's going to perform the abortion to meet with the patient 24 hours before to explain the procedure and go through the risks and benefits that the procedure would provide, and basically allowing these procedures to be done the same way any other medical procedure would be done. And that, we think, is the most important.
Okay, very good. Any questions for the Catholic Conference? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Sam Lee.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Samuel Lee with Campaign Life Missouri, to go on record in support of this legislation.
All right, any questions for Sam Lee? Thank you, Mr. Lee. Missouri Right to Life.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Susan Klein, representing Missouri Right to Life, here to go on record in support of the bill.
Thanks, Ms. Klein. Any questions for MRL? Okay, thank you. Anybody else in favor of the bill? All right. Ms. Trupiani, why don't you come first?
Michelle Trupiano, Planned Parenthood, and in the, you know, trying to be efficient, have witness forms for all my cohorts that are not here.
Oh, so. Thank you. We'll be efficient.
I cut them away. So go on record with our, you know, all of our previous objections. Do want to touch on the new reporting section, and I will find the statute for you, but it is current law already that anybody who presents, whether they're pregnant or not, but that there's evidence of sexual activity, so even if they're coming to the clinic for an STD check, for example, 14 and under 14, automatically a report goes to the Division of Child Protection Services. If they're under the age of 18 and there's some suspicion of abuse, again, a report is made to the Division of Child Protective Services where that they can then investigate. And so we believe that this section is unnecessary if, as the representative claims, that this is all about, you know, catching child predators or suspected abuse, that the current law already covers that for everyone, that the case that he's referring to 20 years ago, we don't even know that happened in Missouri, but two, that if that were to happen today, that the current laws already do that. The second thing that this piece does is also require to take a DNA sample of anyone who's under the age of 18 so that then they could possibly use that if there were some criminal activity. We can't just take DNA samples and keep them in our refrigerator because there's no chain of evidence that then you could use that for future criminal prosecution. So there would be no reason for us to take a DNA sample unless it was requested by the prosecutor, which that happens sometimes in rape cases where the prosecutor or the law enforcement request a DNA sample and they have to come to the clinic, stand outside the door, and immediately take that sample and take it back into their chain of evidence. And so we can't just store DNA samples until, you know, some future date, because there would be no chain of custody or evidence and it would be rendered useless. So just wanted to point those couple things out, and that there is sort of a to me it seems very, very political when it's like we're going to target the abortion providers and make the abortion providers report on anyone who's under the age of 18 that becomes pregnant, but we're not going to make anyone else report, whether that teen goes to a crisis pregnancy center or even goes to an OB, because we're trying to intimidate and scare that teen who goes to the abortion provider but not to any other provider. And so there seems to be sort of a lack of just not fairness, as far as we're going to make one entity do something that we're not going to make the other entities that could also see that same team. So,
okay. Any questions for Ms. Trupiano? Appreciate you being here. Anybody else here to testify against the bill? Ms. Coble?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Colleen Coble with the Missouri Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. Again, just to focus on the new section of the bill in Section 1, where the prosecutor is notified. 2 years ago, last year, this committee actually approved a measure where the prosecutors were no longer notified of sexual assault forensic evidence exams from the protocols. Prosecutors can't use that information. As was mentioned, they actually have to have the law enforcement reports of a crime being committed before they can take action within their role. And the protocol and standard is for a medical professional to make a report. They're mandated reporters to call Child Protection System Services. They do the investigation. Law enforcement is brought in, juvenile authorities, and then the case moves on to the prosecutor.
Okay, very good. Any questions for Ms. Coble? Thank you, Ms. Coble. Anybody else here testify against the bill? Okay, that's going to conclude our hearing on House Bill 1327. Representative Pratt, thank you very much. Appreciate it.